Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Chaitanya Upanayanam Natya Shastra, Chapter 4, Description of Tandava Dance. Okay. According to Abhinava Gupta, Karana is action, Kriya Karanam, and as the very life, Jivitam, of Nrita, the pure dance movements. Footnote 6. Couldn't we do this?
Yes. Only this.
Oh, only up to there. That's as far as we got. Okay, abstract dance movement with rhythm or without expression of a theme or emotion. So it's just, in other words, when you're practicing learning, you learn just the technical movements, how to do. Then nritya, interpretive dance using facial expressions, hand gestures, hand movements to portray emotions and express it. They call it interpretive because it's just that's how people in dance like to talk. But the actual point is that then you're expressing a particular emotion. Because you can't just express anything. You can't interpret how you like. So they put it on themselves that I'm interpreting rather than what's appropriate for the action. And natya is then when all this is put together. So you have the dance, you have the whole plot of the lines, the costumes, the how everything's unfolding. That's the drama itself. It is a kriya, an act which starts from a given place and terminates after reaching the proper one. It involves both the static and dynamic aspects, pose, sthiti, and movement, gati. And that is why, he says, Karana is called Narita Karana. Such throws, shapa of the limbs, must be guided by a sense of beauty and grace. So he's saying throws when you're moving your arm out, like that. Sense of beauty and grace, vilasa kshepasya. A karana has to be intellectually and spiritually satisfying, right? So intellectually means it's actually the right one, but it's spiritually satisfying because it actually gives the mood and everything that goes there. The word niritasya in Bharat's definition is meant to emphasize this aspect of dance. According to him, Abhinava, the sthanaka, right, because that's the, okay, the sthanaka, posture, chari, foot position, and nirita hasta, hand movements, can be compared to subject, karupada, object, karmapada, and verb, kriyapada, in a meaningful sentence, while the resultant karna should be compared to a sentence. Okay, so the posture is the subject, the foot position is the object, and the hand position is then the verb. So in other words, the hand is getting all the things, how you stand and all that, and then the particular posture. You have a particular posture, then what your feet are doing, then that will give it that movement, and then the hand is what is actually trying to get things done. Right? Because you're moving from one place to the other and that, but it's through your hands that you express. Is that make sense? No? Yeah. As regards rechikas, circular movement of a limb, Abhinava Gupta says, it is through rechikas that the karanas and angaharanas derive their beauty and grace. He gives some guidelines to be observed while performing a rechika of the foot, pada rechika, neck, griva rechika, and the hands, hasta rechika. So the one will be a position, and then the other will be its actual movement, how it's moving from one thing to the next. Does that make sense? You know, it'd be like, let us say we have two positions, hand positions. You know, we have a position for stop, and we have a position for give, right? But now, how we connect those two, that circular movement, that adds to the whole flavor. You know, it's just like the gopis are going to the ghat. Right? It means they're going down to the boat place. You know, the dock. You know, on their way to take their yogurt and that to the market. Right? And Krishna's dressed up as the boatman. So he's going to take tax. Right? Does that make sense? So then there's going to be the aspect of he's going to be stop, and then it's going to be give. You understand? So that whole thing, that then, we just go, hey, give, give. Then it's just a business thing. But it turns into whole taste when it's stop. You know, it's not even just, hey, hey, hey. You know, it's whole movement like that. And then the, you know, it's very specific. You know, and so that's what gives the taste of the whole thing. Does that make sense? No? Yeah?
At that level, there is no need of talking.
No, because they can do everything just like that. But at the same time, as you add talking and that's how you get the drama.
Yes.
So you do have, let's say, a Bharat Natyam performance, they don't do any talking. But there is a song explaining what's going on. Or sometimes it's just music, depends on who it is. But all the movements can, if you know all the movements, but then when you put them together, you have the movements and the talks, then it has even more. Does that make sense? No? Okay. Verses 311 to 314. Occasions suited to dance. Experts should apply dance when the principal words of a song in a play, as well as its ornamental adjunct known as varna, comes to a close, or when any character attains good fortune in a play. Right? So it's not that they're always dancing. It's just at some points. Right? So as experts, when principal words of a song in a play, as well as its come to a close, as you're ending something and it comes to the, then there could be some dancing and then it's finished. Or when the character, some good fortune, and then it comes up like that. Right? So, does that make sense? So that's why then, when I say that they're on the bridge, and then where would they be on the bridge? Let's say in Switzerland, for whatever reason, like that. And then something is said, and then the reaction is good, and so that's what he's been trying to do, is get her to react and all that. And then you start the collage where they go, and now they're in Kashmir, or they're down at the beach, they're doing this and that, they're out of the, right? That one? Yeah. So, that's because then he's attained a good fortune, so they'll put it in. You know? Or someone's come up with something and then established their position, you know, and who they are. And so, at this point, then they're on top of a taxi. And then they start to do their dance, and then the whole city somehow or another starts dancing. Right? All the people in the windows are coming out. And, yeah. So, that's what it says. Experts should apply dance. Right? Okay. And dance should take place on an occasion or play with something connected with love occurs between a married couple. For it, the dance, will be a source of joy. Right? So, something nice, affection is there, then that means that's a joyful position. Therefore, then a dance is there, it'll increase the flavor. Dance related to the meaning of the song should also take place in any scene of a play when the lover is near and a suitable season or the like is visible. Right? If it's unfavorable, then there won't be a dance. But if the things are proper and everything lines up, because, you know, it's like particular situations, particular seasons, like this, then you can have these things. Right? Does that make sense?
Freezing cold in the winter.
Yeah, then they won't do that. That will be the dog sled dance. You know, you get out your boots and just go like this and like that. Yeah. No. Yeah. Verses 315 to 220. Occasions when dances are prohibited. Okay. But dance should not be applied to the part of a young woman who is enraged, kandita, deceived, vipralamba, or separated from a lover by a quarrel, kala hantarita. Right? It has to be when they're coming together and things are favorable. Because at this time, if she's enraged, then you know, she might destroy the set, you know, like that. Dance should not be applied also at a time when a dialogue is going on with a female friend, or when the beloved one is not near at hand or has gone abroad. And besides this, when one realizes the appearance of one of the seasons or the like from the words of a messenger, and feels eagerness or anxiety on account of this, no dance should be applied. Right? So particular seasons come up and this and that, and so then that eagerness or anxiety, there won't be a dance there. It has to be, the dance is the blooming of something. You know, it's the result of something. Then it has something. Either he's accomplished something and then there's a dance, or then the couple are together and there's a dance, because it'll be brought up also, Rupa Goswami, when it comes to his part, that in drama, then the primary aspects are always going to be either chivalry or conjugal. Like that. You generally see one drama as either prominently one or prominently the other, and some are able to mix the two. Like that. Yes. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, so then if like the girls are together, they're talking amongst themselves, there's not a dance at that time. Like, right. No?
But we're talking about performance or just the dance?
Within the performance. Means the performance is going on when you would apply a dance. Because the drama is going on. There's all kinds of activities and dialogue and all that.
It means whatever is going on in the drama. Like,
yes. I mean, if you're enraged and all that, and you want to put on the music when no one's there and jump around and like that to let off steam and all that, you go for it. But it's not part of it. But if somebody comes and rings the doorbell and stuff, you'll stop dancing and turn off the music. You know, you're not going to ask people to join you like that. You understand? So, in other words, it's particular flavor. These are just the times when, if you add it, it enhances. Like that. Yeah. But if during the performance of any part of the play, the heroine is gradually pacified, dance is to be applied till its end. Right? So then then dance could be used and all that, even in the pacification, the whole thing. Yes? No? Okay.
Dance can be applied, but till the end of the dance. Because if it is only a beginning of the dance, then it's...
Until the dances end.
Yes.
Means that there has to be a completion of the dance. It can't just be... I mean, you can have just one little movement of that, but it would be, as we saw before, it's complete in itself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the karana has to have a few little movements, and then you have so many of that, so it has to be something that's complete.
Yes.
You wouldn't just start and then stop there. Yes. It would have to complete, because otherwise then... like that. If any part of a play relates to the adoration of Shiva, one should perform there a dance with energetic angaharanas, which he himself created. Right? So that's what you, so here the tandava is being used as the whole thing, just meaning dance. Then a lot of times, then it's, you know, Shiva, the dance of destruction, that's the tandava. So then if it's connected with him, then you would have that kind of dance. Yes, and energetic, yeah. And any love song mentioning relations between men and women should be followed by a dance with delicate angaharanas, which Parvati created. Right? So it must be finer things. His will be energetic, hers will be refined. Or delicate, not refined. One who will perform well this dance created by Maheshwara Shiva will become free from all sins and go to the abode of this deity. These are the rules regarding the tandava dance arising out of its application. Riti, having described the story behind the inclusion of tandava dance in the Natya Shastra, the author next describes the preliminary events to be performed before the start of a dramatic performance. Right, so he first then described where all these things will apply, right? Like that, what they are and how they'll apply. Now then, preliminaries of a play. Chapter 5, Adhyaya Prakashika. Purva Ranga, or the preliminaries of a play, right? Because Ranga is the art, is the play. So Purva is before. Is an important chapter in the theatrical play. It gives a vivid illustration regarding the rituals to be conducted before the commencement of the play. Purva Ranga bears this name because ceremonies connected with it are performed at the inauguration of the staging of play. It is done on the stage. According to the Sahitya Darpana, the term Purva Ranga is significant as it includes the events performed by the actor before the play in order to remove all hindrances. In this chapter, Bharat Muni details on the 20 different parts of the preliminaries to be performed before the start of the actual play and the benefits obtained by performing them. Shloka Anushar. Yes. Sahitya Darpana. Sahitya Darpana. It is...
We used it before.
I think it's... it's been a long time. But it's basically either I'm not sure if it's the list of all these different definitions of words that's connected with logic, or it's or some other list. But in any case, it'll be some kind of shastra that's defining, giving definitions of words. But it's not like I think a dictionary, in that it's going down to the specific roots and showing how those build into the words. That kind of dictionary. It's not lexicography as such. It would be more like a glossary of terms that are used. Does that make sense? But exactly, does he say what's the Sahitya Darpana? No. Okay. Because I forget the literature itself. I'm not sure I'm mixing it up with something else. Sorry? You'll look it up. Okay. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 7. Sages request Bharat Muni to describe about the preliminaries of a play. On hearing the words of Bharata, the sages were pleased and said, "We have heard from you about the origin of drama, as well as the means of stopping obstacles and the worship of gods. Having grasped the meaning, we would like to know in detail." Oh, very splendid one, about the preliminaries with all their characteristics. Hearing these words of the sages, Bharat spoke thus about the rules of the preliminaries. O blessed ones, listen to me as I am speaking about the preliminaries, as well as of the parabanga, the kalas, and the walking around. So this is different from walking about. That's something you do in Australia. So this is walking around. That's done on the stage. Right?
It is one of the most comprehensive works in Indian aesthetics.
Okay, so it's on aesthetics. Yeah, because you'll see it regularly quoted, Sahitya Darpana. It's very much on aesthetics. Okay. As it is first performed at the beginning, Purvam, on the stage, Ranga, because Ranga is the stage. It is called the Purva Ranga. Ranga also can mean art, but in this case it means the stage. It's the place where art's performed, right? Verses 8 to 30, parts of the preliminaries, right? Because you'll have sections of the preliminaries, then you can get into details. Right, so that's always, you have the main thing, then you're going to have the different parts. I mean, in other words, you give the overview, and that you can say it basically in a sentence or two. Then you'll give its main parts, and then you'll give the details of the parts. That's always the Vedic way of explaining something. Right? But in the modern, it's thinking, oh, you're repeating yourself, so it's not necessary. Just get straight to the detail. So then they drop out the descending process. They destroy that approach and just take the detail as the goal. No, what you first say, that's actually what you're trying to obtain. Then it has these sections, then there's the details. Does that make sense?
Can you say that Shri Prabhupada did the same in Bhagavatam, but a little bit later, when he would say the chapter in the natural and then all the verses?
Yes, you could say like that. But also a lot of times you see is like basically when you're not just saying now we're going to do this, but you're explaining why we're going to do it, what's the intent or what you're trying to accomplish by doing this. Then you start getting into its parts and everything. But yeah, basically the same thing. So you always start, and you'll see as any of these works, we go into the Vedic works, they're always going to, let's say a new chapter, there's going to be like one paragraph there that's explaining the whole, what's going on in that chapter. Then they'll get down to the, break down the details. Rupa Goswami uses it also. But I've noticed that in the contemporary publishing, they don't like that system because it's repeating itself. So why not just get down to the details? They feel you're, you know. I said, time is money. Because originally, I think our original, that study guide of Gita that we had from the 80s, it was laid out like that, but the publisher didn't appreciate it. So then it was adjusted. So now we're adjusting back. No, we're talking about from the 80s. Atna Tattva's one, the study guide. Because that was one of the points, is there. It's being repeated. Why are we repeating? They just see the words here again, and the words here again. And, you know, so that was the problem. And not being able to explain why they were doing that from that, this is descending, then, you know, you go with whatever they're comfortable with. If you can explain it, then they go, oh, okay. Right? Bharat states that Purvaranga has 20 different constituent parts, which are to be performed in due order with the playing of drums and stringed instruments, as well as with recitatives, patya. Out of these, the first 9 are to be performed behind the curtain and the rest on the stage. First 9, okay. Pratyahara, arranging of the musical instruments. 2. Ava Tarana, placing or seating of the singers. 3. Aramba, beginning of the rehearsal song of the chorus, vocal exercises for singing. 4. You know, when they all have to go, they all have their, you know, whatever it is that they do, each one has their own, like, thing, you know. Ashravana, adjusting the musical instruments for playing them in due manner, right? Because you're going to place the instruments, but then you have to adjust them so that they're all in tune with each other. If you're doing a particular raga, that they're all in that tune and stuff like that. So that's the nice thing about your vina and those. Your older instruments, they can be played. You don't have to adjust. They can be played in anything. They have all the frets and, you know, all the strings. Well, in the contemporary, like the Indian classical music, they take out some of the frets. So if they're going to change the raga, they have to move the frets around. So they can't just move from one to the next. Well, in the Vedic, there's 24 frets. You can play anything, but they only use 17. You know, it's easier for them. They get a more of an idea where things are. When you have 24, you have to be more practiced. Okay. Vaktarapani, rehearsing the different style of playing instruments. 6. Pari Gatkana, tuning of the musical instruments. Samotana, meant for rehearsing the use of different hand poses for indicating the time beat. 8. Marga Sharita, playing together of different instruments. So, makes sense. Like, you ever seen those guys, sometimes the classical, they're going like this and they're doing all these things and hitting, you know, that's those things, because they're hitting certain beats like that. So all these things they have to see is going on. And 9, Asarita, playing and singing of different rhythmic structures for practicing the divisions of time fractions. So in other words, all the musicians have to be able to be trained in this. So that's behind the curtain. You don't see that in the drama. So there'll be some final points that you're putting together and just making sure that they understand what's going to go on. There's some specifics and all that. But otherwise, that even just means beforehand, you know, you have rehearsals of them making sure that they do all this. It's not that they just all come out there and just start to play. Right, God. So that makes sense.
This takes quite a lot of time.
Yeah, that's why it's their occupation. That's why they do it all day. And others are the spectators. They come at 8 o'clock and sit down and leave at 10. But so in other words, these things shouldn't go on when the curtain opens. So technically, it's improper that you see now is that they come on the stage and then they start to tune their instruments. Nobody wants to see that. So before they come out and spend so much time doing that. And then there was a revolution in that, because when Ravi Shankar went to the West, they don't like that. You know, unless they're hippies and stoned, then they're okay. You know, at Woodstock when he went 69, he sat down, they were tuning everything and all that. And when he finished the tuning after a few minutes, they all applauded because they thought, wow, that was psychedelic. He says, wow, if you like the tune-up, you'll really like the concert. You know, so, yeah. So then, but in India, that's what they were doing. And then he found that no one really did that. So he would tune it before he comes out. So it's all ready. He's already done the things, pulled the strings, get everything right. Then he would come out, sit down, and just make sure that now you're sitting in pose and just, you know, little fine things. You take 30 seconds, everybody's cool with that. So when he came back to India and did that, it just completely changed the whole way everyone, because everyone preferred how he did it. Now the other guys, they were just saying, this is nonsense. So everybody had to change. Though still now and again, when they're being very official or they're really big, then they come out and do all their things and stuff like that. But actually, as you see, that's behind the curtain. You're not supposed to have that. You know, because who wants to watch that? That's your business. You know, it's like, you know, a cooking show, you want to watch them sharpening the knives and washing the pots and mopping the floor. No, you know, you want to see them cook, right? That's what you came to see cook.
Even now, all the videos for cooking, maximum 2 minutes. Yeah, they don't show you how they cut
everything. Yeah. Because no one wants to watch. You know, it's like,
who has time?
Yeah, I mean, so they can show you a recipe in 3 minutes, you know. But otherwise, they could go through and show you the whole prep. It'd take you 45 minutes, but no one's going to watch.
Yeah, because
yeah, or they speed it up. So
that's what they do now.
Yeah. So that's the point. No one wants to see this stuff. Okay. Asharita, playing and singing of different rhythmic structures or practicing the divisions of time fractions. Are the songs outside of the performance of a play to be sung by persons behind the curtain to the accompaniment of drums and stringed instruments? So you also can have, because the audience is coming in, they can be playing all these things. Here, the difficulty comes is that a lot of times these translations are done by some academic, and they're not a musician. It's just like you've seen in the Gaudiya tradition, and so you see it in the Manipuri, that before they start a performance, then there'll be, it's called Ashrabandana, like that. It'll be combining this with some others. We'll see what's the next song. Is that they'll play beats and all kinds of far-out combinations and all that. It just kind of sets the mood. So they could be doing this behind the curtain. So you hear something's going on and everything like that. And then, does that make sense? So they have to do all that before. Otherwise, there'll be guys that'll come last second and then they'll have to tune. But even in the contemporary, if you have a play that has a live orchestra, you'll see as beforehand they're all tuning and all this and that. And then, when the curtain opens, they just play. You know, in any case, it all has to be done before.
Because the public can listen to that.
They can. It means some of that, if it's just some light, slightly, you know, what else can you do? You can't lock them up in a box. They'll hear it. But what we're meaning is they can be these preliminary kind of things where you're doing with just because if you play all the different beats and all the different plays and how you break it down and do this and that, and then it's an interesting thing because of the mechanics.
Yes.
So these things go on, but it's behind the curtain.
But it can be like a preparation for...
It is a preparation. It's outside of the performance of the play.
Because I have seen, especially in Manipur, like that, when you do like that, it means if you arrive at the right time, even to listen, it's like a preparation.
Yes, yes. They've combined it and worked it in, because we've only seen the first 9. So we'll see what the next 11, and if they include that particular aspect. But those are done, is that they'll do that, you know, as a preliminary before, and it looks very nice. But as you see, as time goes, it needs to be shorter and shorter. People don't have the patience. You know, you can't be there for a 20-minute, you know, Asher Bandana, you know. But if you do it in 5 minutes, then they're quite happy with it. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Do we say the last sentence? Yeah? Okay. Then, after removing the curtain, dances and recitals are to be performed with the playing of all musical instruments. And, 10, some song, Gita, of the Madrika class is to be sung, or one of the Vardhamanika class, along with the 11, classical dance, Tandava, suitable to it should be applied. Then should take place one after another during the preliminaries the following: 12, Uttapana, song on the setting up of the banner of Indra; 13, Party Vartana, walking around, where the director of the play move around praising the guardian deities; 14, so he'll move around the play, and because they're guarding the whole play, so we'll talk about, you know, who this one's here and this one's there and all these things like that. But he's going to go around and you know, make it interesting. 14, Nandi, benediction to invoke blessings of gods, Brahmins, and kings. 15, Shush Kapar Rishta, meaningless sounds for pleasing Jarjara. Okay. Ranga Dvara, commencement of the performance, which includes words and gestures. 17, Chari, movements depicting conjugal mellow. 18, Mahachari, movements depicting furious mellow. 19, Trigata, three men's talk, consisting of Sutradhara, or director, Pari Parshvak, or assistant, and Vidushak, or jester. And 20, Para Rochana, laudation, which is an appeal made by the director with a view of success, after suggesting the action of the play in hand with proper reasoning and arguments. So that's going to be, because we're going to say there's going to be the drama. So let's say in Chaitanya Chandradoi Natakam, then it's going to be about Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes. But before that, then there's going to be, you know, all these things we said before. The musicians are there, they've got a certain ready, then he comes out, and there's various elements that are there and praise. You know, so for us, you don't need to praise the demigods in this. There are going to be praises. The director will come out, there'll be praises to the Supreme Lord, the devotees, his wonderful pastimes and all that. Then you're going to have he'll maybe with the assistant or like that, and they'll be discussing. Then you're going to have the Vidushak come on. And then he's going to have something he's worried about, or something that happened, or did you like this. And then they'll discuss all the things about the play, the glories of the Lord, and these, and what's going to unfold. And having done that, then there'll be something to the audience where, you know, may they be blessed, and may they be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, like this and that, and obtain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all that. And then something will come up, and then they have to leave. And then, when they leave, then the actual drama starts. But all this is preliminary. It adds to that. So these are preliminaries too. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the modern films, they like to leave out narration, even though it's so useful. They leave it out, and they think it's bad. But let's say you have somebody who's within the thing, but he can deal with the audience. He breaks the fourth wall. You know, like someone like, let's say, Deadpool. Right? And he tells you what's going on. Everybody thinks it's fabulous and what a wonderful thing. But that's what the Vedic thing is supposed to be like that. But if you don't have the person there and it's just the talk, now, oh, this is nonsense, you know, like that, this is cheap, why can't they show it in the, you know, what they're doing, and, you know, like this. But the point is, it's a natural thing. You have to set the preliminaries. You have to set what's going on. Just like if you're going to tell a story, you tell the background. So you set the scene. You know, it's just normal. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, you can technically say starts in the second chapter. But you have all the preliminaries to set the scene. Same in the Bhagavatam. It starts in the second canto, but it's, you have the first canto to set the scene.
So, they used to write it down before the film starts, and then somebody would read it out loud. You know, what's the situation?
Yeah, yeah. That's narration. Yeah. They call it narration, but nowadays in the modern, they don't like to do it. It's not art house enough for them. So, you know, you got to be able to show it by someone sitting there and going like that, and then you know everything because you saw the guy do that. You know, so like that. So it's weird. But the point is, it's a natural thing, but you have to make it relevant. You have to bring it so it's dynamic and the audience can relate to it. So they just haven't been able to do that. But one example, they're able to do that. So sometimes if you have someone doing that, it works. You know? No? Yeah. Okay. Verses 31 to 42. Yeah, so you see, if you go back and all, even if you go in the Shakespearean thing, someone comes out and he starts talking about what's going to happen and this and that, and then he goes off and then it starts. So you see, it was very much part of the scene, but it's considered, you know, old and archaic. So with Shakespeare, you expect it to be old and archaic. That's why people like it, you know. And so then that's there. But in the modern things, they think, you know, we can get streamlined, get rid of all this, just get right exactly to the expression and all that. But you don't know what they're expressing, what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? And all their things, they're all the same kind of moves. They use a different set of moves, but it's all the same moves. They're always like stretched backwards and weird things. But they're all doing that. You know, so like that.
But usually Maharaj in drama, even nowadays, even in the West, there are some presentation, can be a voice, and after we have and speak, talk, and after the drama is starting.
Yeah, no, that's the devices. So any device they use, but the whole point is for the play to be auspicious, there needs to be that preliminary to get everyone in the mood. Because if it's about the audience having a joy in that. But now, if, like, for the first 5-10 minutes, you don't even know what's going on. How are they expressing that? But it's all, oh no, we're doing this, we want to show that, we want, you know. No, they should know right from the beginning what's going on, and then you unfold it. You only have a short amount of time. An hour, half, 2 hours, and that. So from beginning to end, there should be this mood that they're absorbed in all this. But this idea, no, we'll leave it, they don't know what's going on and that, and that's part of the thing, and that's so refined and so high class, and we're so smart. And then they can't understand why nobody likes it. And then they'll go, oh, that's because it's not for the common people, you know. And others go, oh, yeah, it was fabulous. You know, I knew nothing. It was great. You know, and stuff like that. And so it's not how it's done. You're supposed to know what's going to happen. Then there's the uniqueness of how it unfolds. You know? It's just like if someone tells you, you know, goes into the kitchen and I'm hungry. Okay, I'll make something. What are you making? Oh, I'm not telling you. You know, wait until it's done. Well, what can I eat? You want to know. You know? Like that. Or, you know, if you say, okay, I'll make you this. And then, oh, nice. And then it unfolds. They get the ingredient, they put it together and that, and in 5 minutes you have something to eat. Right? And then you're happy. So this whole idea is how emotions work and all that. But people want to go, oh, no, that's what everybody... We want to do something different. But that doesn't necessarily mean the different is good. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that's why tradition is there, is it works. You follow tradition, it works. You don't follow tradition, it's a problem. But at the same time, is you do have to be dynamic and make it so it works for the audience. And so you have to figure out how to make this tradition work in a contemporary environment. Not just, oh, you know, they won't work for anybody. It's like that. What do you mean? All this can be used nicely. You know, it's just that all these things, with the raising the banner, walking around, praising the deities, benediction to invoke the pleasing of the gods and kings, like that, that's going to all be put into one where it's all about glorifying the Lord. How He's the Supreme, how He's, you know, protecting everything, and how, you know, all these great, you know, personalities and all the devotees, maybe like this, that's there. And then He's going to go into then starting all the different things that's going to be there, bringing out what's going to be in the whole thing. You know, and so you see in the openings to the dramas, these traditional ones, how that's done, each one is very unique. You know, come out and, oh, you know, like that. You know. Does that make sense?
Can be very inspiring.
Can be very inspiring. Yeah, yeah. And so that's the whole thing, is that these things are there, and if it's appreciated, so you make it unique for you, but not that being unique for you means you get rid of all this. That's not unique. You know, we're going to have a luncheon, but you know, at every luncheon they're eating food, so let's do something, dude, different than that. We'll have no food like that. Oh wow, so unique, so different. Everyone's going to talk about this, and definitely they will. You know, it says, you know, that idiot invited us for lunch and there was no lunch. You know. Yeah, like that. So the whole point is how you do and all that. That's the art. Just like in drama, they're using the techniques and all, and the same thing with the opening. So you have these, it works better. Otherwise, why is Shakespeare still going after 400 years? And these other things, a few of them are going and most of them aren't. You know, so that's the point. Yeah. Verses 31-42, Nir Gita and Bahir Gita. When songs in seven forms and in Chitra and Dakshina Margas, songs sung according to different beats, together with the Upohana, footnote 7. In the famous book on music, Sangita Ratnakara, by Sharangadev, 1247 AD, the author describes raga elaboration. Process is explained under three expressions, namely, upohana, alap, and alapti. Upohana includes melodic phrases to be sung prior to the rendering of dhruva songs, or songs consisting of seven different measures. These phrases used meaningless syllables and were designed around these stai note. It means you have the main note, because you always have a note that you're going from sa. It's always going from sa, and then how the notes compare. So in the Vedic, they would use na. Na or num. You know, so now they'd go ah, before they go na, like that. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, num, na, like that kind of thing. Now they just leave that out. They just do the ah part. Besides projecting the raga character, you get the flavor of what's going on. This process also helps to indicate tal, the rhythm, the song which followed. As defined by Simha Bhupala, melodic phrases stressing the contrasting notes, tirubhava, constituted alapti. Contrasting those. Okay. Whereas emphasis on the stai note of raga was known as alap. When you focus on the alap, means on the main note, you're showing everything from that, how it goes to the next note. You have sa, and then how sa goes into the next note, and how so that goes to the next note. They feature it around a particular note. You start on sa, but it means all the ways you can approach it. Does that make sense? So it's not just sa. You know, it'll be sa. Sa. So it's all about sa. It's all about that one note. You know, and so they'll do all those things and then they'll move from that, because you've done other notes, but that doesn't mean it's about those notes. It's about sa. Yeah. Yeah. You know, then when they go sa, le, sa, ya, like this, those are all about now re. Then they do that and they show, introduce all the notes, so you know how they go together and everything. So that's a lot. But they're all in connection with that. But when it's showing how they're contrasting, how, you know, different things go with each other and all, then that's the alapti. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that it on that one? Yes. And the nirgita, vocal and instrumental music without specific meaning. Okay, that's the opahana and nirgita. That's what we just did. were started by musical experts like Narada in praise of gods, all the gods and the Danavas, because the raga is showing a particular mood, and so that's going to be the mood of that particular drama. Mm-hmm. You know, that's there, the particular flavor is there, so you're going to bring out all those different things. And so the expertise of how you can move from one raga to another and all these things, because if the drama has a few different flavors in it, how to move in between them and out of them, you have to really know the ragas nicely to do that. Yeah. Okay, like Narada, started by musical experts like Narada, in praise of the gods, all the gods and the Danavas. In the assembly, we made to hear the Nirgita performed with proper tempo and time beat. Now, in hearing these happy songs praising the gods, the Daityas and the Rakshasas were all provoked to jealousy. Yeah, so you're saying all these things about the gods, now the Daityas and the Rakshasas, now they're upset. You know, what about ours? You know, like that, you know. Where's the death metal? You know, why all this nice raga? You know, like that, yeah. Under these circumstances, they pondered over the matter and said to one another, "We are glad to hear this Nirgita in accompaniment of the instrumental music, and the gods were pleased to hear the songs in seven forms about their exploits. But we shall hear the Nirgita only and shall always be pleased with it." Then these, Daityas and Rakshas, pleased with the Nirgita, urged for its repeated performance. Okay. So, when you have the songs... Okay. So when you just have the song in praise of the... See, in other words, you're hearing the song, and in the song you're using all the different technical musical elements. And that's being done to, you know, please, in this case, the demigods, or, you know, we sing for Krishna and the devotees, like that. But that aspect doesn't please the demons. But they like the music, technical musical performance. So that's why they say, we'll hear the Nirgita only, and we'll always be pleased. So in other words, when you just have that without the words, that's for the demons. Yes. Yes. So we see is that it always had the things, and you would play. Before it was that you would have a beginning like this, then they would play a song that was about, you know, was about Radha and Krishna, the Dhruvas and all those things like that. And that's the way it was. But at some point, then someone got the idea, why do we have to sing about the song about Radha and Krishna? Why can't we just, you know, it's about music, why can't we just do the music? Because before it was, the singer was the main. The instrumentalist wasn't the main. Right? And before, they were so good that the singer could play the veena. They could sing and play. And with time, if they're not as good, then one sings and somebody plays. But then, you know, everybody knows this is the singer. Who cares about the veena player? You know, it's just like you have the guy on the stage singing in the nowadays, and there's a guy playing the harmonium. Who cares about him? You know, you ask, oh, who's the singer? You don't ask, oh, who's the harmonium player? You know? So... Then you have that combination. They want to be more prominent. And people don't, especially the moguls, they don't want to hear about Radha and Krishna. You know, they did for some generations, but at some point they stopped and just did the music. So whatever would be done in that song and all the ways you could play with the song, then they would just do this Nirgita. And so now if you hear a Hindustani classical music performance, it's just Nirgita.
Western classic is also then Nirgita.
Yeah. Hence, who it's for. Because you see is that you go back to, let's say, what was it? You know, what did they call that? What was that music called? It has a name where you generally have it as very... Now at least what's left is it's like you'll have one person or a few persons, a very small group, singing in, let's say, a place that has a very, it's very big or high ceiling, so it has that a kind of echo. But they'll be singing a song. They won't just be making sounds. And it's always in glorification of the Lord. Like that. Gregorian chants, I think it's called. So that time, then there was always songs. But then at some point, then you see, when was the Enlightenment? That was end of the 1700s. When is Beethoven, Mozart, all those guys? Same time. You know, so when you separate church from state, you separate all these things off, then, you know, people may not listen to all these things. Though sometimes they did do things with words. But generally you couldn't get too spiritual unless it was a requiem. Then you could do. Because requiem, you know, dead, God, okay, people, then people will tolerate. But if it's not a requiem, then generally... So you see, yeah, just it's just where the public goes. But before that, then they had... There would be words. Yeah.
Modern music.
I mean, you could probably improve upon the devotional and spiritual quality of the words that are they're discussing about.
I mean, in the modern, in the 20th century, the best rock song was Bob Dylan's "Like a Rolling Stone."
Oh, okay.
That everybody said.
Okay. Yeah. So you can have parts of the song that are without words, but everybody it's appreciated. So that they'll be singing some, then they'll go into some like this, and they'll go back into singing. But just without, then, you know, they'll say, oh, that's for the, how you say, he's the musician's musician. In other words, he's the guy that no one wants to listen to, but he's so good, musicians will listen. But they just listen to, you know, because of the technique and stuff like that. So it's supposed to have the aspect of the words and all that. But at the same time, it's got to be something that's proper. Otherwise, then, if it's too... It leaves it too up in the air, then it's not too...
I just think that in music or singing, if we don't put Krishna at the center, glorify Krishna, the tendency is to become demoniac.
Yeah, it just takes on that thing. Though we're doing for that, but it may have that flavor. Though the form of it is proper, but our attitude might not be. You know, we get too much into playing the cartels or playing this, and you get into, you know, and the people are looking at each other and grooving, you know, yeah, you know, aren't we happening? You know, you've missed the point. It's about the holy name. So you see, is when it goes into that, then that those guys there, they get into it. No one else enjoys it. And then they think, oh, no one else is serious. You know, why aren't they out here? You know, like that. So... That's the difficulty, is that it's gone into the secondary. So it's there to please, to add to it. You know, you're chanting, like you see. A few can do it very nicely. They can produce it in such a way that they're singing and all that. And then there might be a couple of bars where the instrumentalist will play, you know, and go around, and then it'll come back to them singing, because that's part of the technique, how music is done. Because instrumental is good, they can do things, so you let them shine a bit. You let them come out, but it's not too long, and then you go back. So unless they're fabulous, then, you know, after they've gone two rounds, you pull it back. If they're really good, you might let it go for four. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. But you have to be good, otherwise other people do it, and it's just like, you know, why are they doing this? No? Yeah. So this is called the Nirgita, to satisfy the vanity of the daityas. While in honor of the gods, it is called the Bahirgita. It means outside the Gita. Right? So it just means it's outside the Gita. So it's preliminaries. Then there'll be the Gita. There is near Gita because they're not interested in the song. Like that. This is to be played by experts in the Chitravina with dhatus containing light and heavy strokes, akshara, and varnas and alankaras. It is called the Nirgita because in it there is sung a combination of sounds carrying no sense. And to satisfy the vanity of the gods, it is called the Bahirgita. Right? So to satisfy the daityas, it's called the Nirgita, and to satisfy the gods, it's called the Bahirgita. Like that. So that's what you see is that much of the time there's not too much emphasis put on this, like the Vallabhas. When they do their singing and all that, they'll just introduce the notes once up and down the scale and then start the song. They won't do any more because they say, what's the allot for us? What's it about Krishna? Like that. But we see is that we'll generally use it to some degree. You know, because, you know, it brings out all the nice notes. It's all nice to hear, and then you get into the song. But it can't be the majority. It's just part of the time. You know. Otherwise, the balance is off.
It indicates that there is not a good director, drama.
That just doesn't work. So that's what you see. If someone's trying to be too, hey, we'll do this, that'll be cool. It doesn't work. It never works. It's never cool. 45-54. The gods pleased by different preliminaries. The Pratyahara pleases the Rakshasas, Yatudana, and the Panagas. But the Pratyahara, what was that? Was that in here? Was that over here? Pratyahara, arranging the musical instruments. Okay. So the arranging of the musical pleases the Yakshas, Rakshasas, Yatudana, and the Panagas. Well, the Apsaras are delighted with the Avatarana, which is the Avatarana, the second one, placing or seating of the singers, right? Because they're the singers, right? Because the instruments, those will be done by the Vidyataras or like that. Like that. The Gandharvas are pleased when the Arambha is performed. Which one's the Arambha? Beginning of the rehearsal song of the chorus, vocal exercise, you know, because they're singers, like that. And in the performance of the Ashravana, the daityas take delight. Ashravana is the adjusting the musical instrument for playing them in due manner. So you put them in the play. You put them down, you place, but then adjusting them how you play and everything, get them lined up, everything that's unique for the performance and all that. The Vaktrapani pleases the Danavas. Okay, the Vaktradani. Which one is that? Oh, okay. Rehearsing the different styles of playing the instruments. And the Parigatana, the hosts of Rakshasas, are pleased. And that's tuning of the musical instruments, right? So we see is that Woodstock, then, they were pleased. By the Samgotana, Guyakas are satisfied. Samgotana, meant for rehearsing the different hand poses for indicating the time beat. When songs, Gitaka, are sung, the gods enjoy them. Gitaka. Oh, that's it. So now you're going to the next one. Yeah, so up. The song, and Ruda with his followers pleased by the performance of the Vardhamana. Which one's that? Anga. Where are these?
Maybe the number
10. Yeah, it doesn't have a name.
Classical dance.
One of the
Vardhamana. Recitals before the playing of all musical instruments.
It's 10 and then 11.
Some song, Gita. Oh, Vardhamana class. Okay, yeah, it makes sense.
It's a dance.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Similarly, in the performance of the walking around, Parivartana.
From the top of the case.
Parivartana.
Walking around.
14. No, 13. Okay, yeah. Okay, the song, yeah, okay, then Uttapana. Lokapala is the guardians of the worlds are delighted because you're going around and talking about them and how they're controlling the stage. And the moon god is pleased with the benediction. So the benediction is coming. Is that at the end or is that the beginning? Commencement of the performance, Jesus. I think that's the end. During the singing of the Abha Riksha Dhruva, Nagas are pleased. While Shushka Varishta Dhruva pleases the host of Pitris, the ancestors. At the Ranga Dvara, Vishnu is pleased. While the Jar Jar ceremony pleases the leaders of the Jishnas. On the Chari being performed, Uma takes pleasure, while all the performance of Mahachari, the Bhutas, are delighted. Okay. The Ranga Dvara, commencement of the performance, which includes words and gestures. So when they start the whole, you know, when he comes out and the director starts that, because before that he was, you know, going around and all these things. Okay. 143 to 166. Other types of preliminaries. According to Bharat, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.